said, listen, I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've crossed valleys fair, man. I breathe them out from air, man.
Okay. Should we start? Is it time? Yeah. Should we talk about cell biology more? I don't Welcome to Barnstorming PA.
Welcome.
Yeah, this is Taylor Lightman. It's a pleasure to be with y'all today. We have very special guests. I'll just introduce my co-host. You know him, you love him, Jordy Comas.
Taylor, you have got such a great lead in for me, and
nothing
for you. Yeah, I mean, I will say that today you were my partner in uncovering crime. That's a fun little story. We did a little walk and talk this morning about the podcast, and we found a bag at the St. George boat ramp,
and we thought it was just trash, and so Jordy heroically waded into the water.
That heroic's doing a lot of work in that sense, for sure. And I opened it, and there was the door to a safe.
We were like,
it had been clearly pried off, and so then we called the police, and then I had to call back later and say.
By the way,
I touched it. I'm not a suspect, please. But then I realized I don't think my fingerprints are in anybody's database yet. So,
well, now they will be.
They will be.
Yeah. So anyway, never a dull day.
And don't screw with my word in central Pennsylvania. That's right. Don't screw with the second, my word. So we're thrilled today. Today's a little bit different than some of our more recent, more heavily political podcasts, but longtime listeners and first time listeners should know and appreciate that, you know, we're very place centric. And so we're thrilled today to sort of dive more into another part of life in rural Pennsylvania. We have two fantastic guests talking about a very important project. Megan, do you want to go first and introduce yourself and explain a little bit about the SVCEP, the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project? Did I do that right?
Sure. Yeah. I definitely get a lot of questions sometimes with like, is that still going on? Those types of things, because we have been in existence for about 12 to 13 years, initially founded by Lynaire Allam, Dr. Lynaire Allam now. I don't believe she was a doctor when she launched the project. That actually evolved as she's been researching and developing the project. And there's been a couple iterations of the project over time, you know, as things change politically and in the community. You know, there was a thought that a local university might put a branch location in our region. And so we kind of put the group on ice for a few years, and then it got reinvented about 6 years ago and has really just been continuing to gain momentum over that time. So our goal is to launch a dedicated independent community college for our Susquehanna Valley region. So we've been focusing on Northumberland, Snyder, Union, and Montour counties, trying to get that support politically and in the community to get it launched.
Excellent. And what, Megan, what do you bring? Like, you're the president of this organization. What is your background, and how did you get involved?
Well, I've been pretty passionate about community development. I have my own private business that I actually developed in a way so that I could do volunteer work in the community. I've been really passionate about community development. And whenever I came across this project, you know, you're always looking for that project that can do the most good, you know, in your region. And I just, the more I hear about community college, the more excited I get about what a game changer it could be. So I was like, it just grew into my passion.
All right. Excellent. And we also have the Lee, the education and curriculum director for this project on. Leah, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. I'm really, really excited. I'm actually, I think, one of the very newest people who's been brought onto the board of directors for the project, but I'm really excited to be involved. I think that community colleges have a really, really important role in the regions that they serve, and I'm incredibly excited to kind of offer or to provide such an opportunity to our region, which I think really sorely needs it and can hugely benefit from it.
And what background do you bring into the project? What was your road into the project?
So I'm actually, I'm a professor of biology at Bucknell University. I benefited hugely from my own local community college when I was a kind of high school going into college during that time. It was such a positive experience for me to take courses at my local community college and to be part of kind of their community education programs. In addition, my family members gained a great deal of benefit from kind of associating with the very same community college that I did while in high school. And my dad actually worked toward an associate's degree while I was going to college at the same time. So I really saw personally the benefit that that having a community college in the area could offer. And so I was really excited when I was asked to get involved in the project. I bring to the project a real focus on curriculum and curriculum development, kind of thinking about what makes kind of a full-on education, you know? And so I've been thinking really hard about things like, you know, degree programs, but also certificate programs, and kind of been brainstorming on that as the development of the college continues.
So Megan, I just want to dig in a little bit more because my understanding is like, I mean, you're a Bucknell alum, is that right? Yourself?
That is correct. Yeah, I am.
And are you like from Sunbury?
No, I'm originally from Midwestern Pennsylvania. So a rural area, probably even more rural than
Is that the name of a town, Midwestern?
No. Oh. If you know where Dayton, Pennsylvania is or New Bethlehem, Punxsutawney is the one that always strikes in the chord with everybody.
Did you say New Bethlehem?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I lived in Old Bethlehem. I mean, not very old Israel Bethlehem, but like, I mean, Lehigh Valley Bethlehem. I didn't realize there was a new Bethlehem. That is so PA.
Isn't it? Yes, 100%. So yeah, I totally lucked out in a lot of ways, you know, getting into Bucknell and getting great education. And I just, you know, it's sometimes it seems like a contradiction, you know, to some people, like, you know, you got this really great education, you know, but you're supporting community college. But, you know, I know that I was lucky, you know, and if that hadn't been available to me, a community college, you know, would have been a game changer for me, you know, I was a first generation college student, and there's a lot of still first generation college students out there looking for just a way to get started.
I want to circle back to that theme about the opportunities that community colleges open up, but I just want to revisit also, like, you've invested a lot in, I mean, I don't want you to give short shrift to your role in Sunbury. My understanding is you were involved in the Edison Hotel and it's, do you want to say anything about your experience with that and how that relates to your broader vision about Sunbury?
Yeah. I mean, part of the reason we invested in the Edison was because we saw it as an anchor in the community and important for it to be there for the community. Right now I don't no longer have any part in the current restaurant. That's Robin's Nest. They just took it over, which is super exciting. But the rooms above are what would be considered SRO rooms, if anybody's familiar with that terminology. So what we're talking about is people who might be blue collar workers on fixed income, things like that. So we probably have 60 residents there who are, you know, living in that type of situation. And I feel like a community college can benefit those people and many people like those. I also have a lot of apartment rentals, and I hate to say this, but all the time I'm seeing people who are just stuck, you know, in a place financially and don't have a way out of it. And again, that just constantly reinforces my passion about the project and giving people opportunity. I have a gentleman there, one of the residents who rent for me, and he's donated to the college project 3 times so far. And every time it breaks my heart because he sees how important it is. He's like, oh, I'm too old. You know, I don't know about this, but he currently works, you know, he does laundry for my local nursing homes. But like, if he had a certificate, all of a sudden he could probably double his income, you know? So that's, yeah, he gives me a reason to be here doing this.
That's beautiful. And like, could you just really quickly give us a vision for like 15, 20 years down the line or sooner? The community college exists. Can you tell us about some of these opportunities that could be a bridge out of poverty, or be, you know, some of these people, you know, what would they do? Like, you know, would they enroll, and how much would a course cost? And, you know, like what would that end up looking like? What's the vision?
That's a big question. I love it.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You know, I just, Lee, I mean, if you want to talk a little bit about curriculum, you know, I mean, I think that's sort of talking about, you already sort of touched on it with, it's not just, I mean, we get a lot of questions from the community, like, don't we have enough colleges? But it's sort of like what a community college addresses is this hole in the middle of everything. You know, we can have great K-12 education. We can have elite four-year institutions in our area, and really great, like, high-tech schools with Penn College, and still be missing, like, two-year programming and workforce development. So, Lee, do you want to say something to that?
Yeah, I talking with Lanier Alum about this, one of the things that I was really excited about was kind of this envisioning the future in which we have programs that offer certificates in plumbing, in kind of whatever certification you might need to be able to start a business as an electrician, right? All of these areas where we really need people kind of working. We desperately, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I've needed somebody to come and help with plumbing or electrical or whatever in my house, it's been really hard to find. I know that there are people in the area who are really interested in careers in this. But if you have to drive to a place that offers these kinds of certifications, right, it's really far, especially from parts of Northumberland County where both Megan and I live, right? There are some areas of the county where, I mean, it's just not really a possibility to seek that kind of training. So my vision for the future is that we have local opportunities for training, for different kinds of workforce development training, in addition, offering associate degrees where you can actually obtain the full degree through taking classes locally. At this point, kind of getting a degree, if you're looking at some of the two-year degree opportunities, it's really rare that you can actually finish the degree locally. You have to travel for at least some of the coursework. And, you know, if you're in a family like I was when I was younger with one car, right? How are you going to get there, right? Having courses locally where you could walk to almost all of your classes makes it a real possibility to gain the benefits of the workforce certifications or of the degree programs that could allow you to move on to eventually a four-year program or something like that.
So I guess the vision in 20 years would be to have had, you know, potentially thousands of students who have been able to pass through these programs, through these certification programs, technical programs, two-year programs, even to, you know, go on potentially into four-year degrees, who then do the community college because they want to stay here. They're able to support their families well here in our area. They're able to be matched because the community college goal is to bridge between people and businesses. We connect people to those businesses in our community that are saying, what are we going to do about, you know, our next hire, so that then they can be successful. Right now, I have this conversation with businesses all the time. You know, they open up a new facility and they're hiring all these people. So what they're doing is they're hiring people from our current pool that are trained in that area, because there isn't this this tool, this asset in our area, anchor institution, to develop new people with those skills and knowledge. So businesses are just constantly fighting over the same people. And yet, while we have, you know, people who may have been high school dropouts, maybe need to change careers types, or, you know, got a faltered and are like, they're 28 and trying to figure out what they're doing with their lives, but don't have a way to get into the workforce.
Yeah. Talk with Bob Garrett any day of the week, and he's likely to tell you about the employment crunch.
Right.
Yeah. I was wondering if you all would accept a friendly amendment to helping businesses, but to employers, because like personally, you know, I'm very interested in the civil society sector, which would include private and public higher education, traditional NGOs. You know, we look at a lot of the really important work in this area. I volunteer a little bit on a committee for the Central Susquehanna Valley United Way, you know, and I can imagine things about community, you know, marketing, but like community engagement oriented, or volunteer management and development, all kinds of things that would fit those needs too. Taylor and I both have, you know, different times been involved in paid political campaign work. And like, I know people who are from this area who go to Georgia, Iowa, Minnesota, California, and work for campaigns. And then campaigns that are running for office come to this area and bring people from other states. And I'm sometimes like, look, it would be nice if people like who knew this area, right, and don't have to like learn it from the ground up. Now, I have a political, I won't say which, but I mean, everybody who listens to this podcast knows I have a particular political orientation. That's kind of true for any party as far as I can tell. So anyway, I mean, what do you all think about saying employers and not only businesses?
I love that. I mean, I think that's very a nuance, but a very important nuance. Like you said, we don't want to be excluding groups who can participate with us, because obviously we need, you know, as many people behind this movement as possible.
Well,
to make it happen.
Around here, between the prisons, Bucknell, and Geisinger, some of the biggest employers are formally nonprofits.
Yeah. 100%.
And I know businesses. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not trying to be overly pedantic about business, but anyway, so that seems like an interesting thing.
We lean into that language probably because of the economic development factor of a community college, you know, and showing that it supports businesses. But absolutely, you're 100% correct. If those other organizations aren't functioning, you know, to the best of their ability, or like you mentioned, a university, Bucknell, they have so many positions that need to be filled by people that aren't necessarily 4-year degree graduates. A 2-year program might be all they need.
Right. Yeah. Well, and one of my... So can I just say this real quick, Heather? For my whole, I've lived in this part of Pennsylvania for 20 years and then in Bethlehem before that. But, you know, the natural gas fracking industry loves to throw out this number about, there's this zombie number about the number of jobs they've created, which is not accurate. It's much lower than what they always say. But what's always interesting to me in the political rhetoric is I still feel like we're locked into this, sometimes this rhetoric about economic opportunity and prosperity for people that imagines, you know, either jobs in mines or jobs on in you know, factory lines, and what's sometimes called the pink collar or the service sector employs far more people, has far more growth, you know. So I think a community college is really ideally positioned to be agile that way, right, and figure out what are the needs. Because, you know, I mean, I can imagine somebody saying like, oh, what you really need is a certificate program and something that's related to gas extraction, whereas we all know most of those people come from Wyoming and Texas and they come here for a few months and they leave. That's not really the durable employment that's going to stay in this area. That's my illustration of that. Yeah, Taylor.
I am just while we're on the topic of it, what and you did mention like plumbing and electrical certifications and stuff like that. What would be other types of programs that people could take and get degrees in, or just take a one-off course in? And what would be the cost to them to take that course?
So as far as the cost, Megan, you might be a better person to answer this question than I am, because I'm kind of new and have been thinking more curricularly than cost-wise. Yeah.
No problem. Yeah, the community college should be $7,500, I think, is the approximate cost, which is about around 30% of what like a similarly private organization would be. And then per credit, I couldn't tell you because it's going to be extremely dependent. I shouldn't say per credit, but for certification courses and those types of things, it's going to be highly dependent on the equipment needed to run a program like that. So unfortunately, I don't really have great answers for that right now, but except for a ballpark.
And that's $7,500. That's for a whole, like a 2-year course, or is that per year?
Per year.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
But for a full-time student? Yeah.
Oh, that would be correct.
So that's a huge cost reduction compared to, I think you already said this, compared to what people would find. Even in, I mean, look, Pennsylvania is, I think, 47th or 48th in support for its flagship institutions in higher education. So like your Penn States and your Indianas. I just want to throw out one more thing, because, and you all, I'm sure, are better at this, but I was looking at a map and like, we'll get to Luzerne Community College, like on the Google map, they're listed as being in this area, but I think they have a pretty small presence to begin with. But basically there's a huge wedge that goes from like Erie all the way down to the West Virginia border and then over, and then Mrs. Harrisburg and cuts up through our area and out to west of Wilkes-Barre Scranton. All of it, there's basically no community colleges at least listed. So there's obviously huge holes, right? Do you all want to say anything about that, or did I say it already?
Well, no. I mean, I think maybe a simpler way to, we call it the community college desert. Mm-hmm. And it's like a T that goes across the entirety of northern Pennsylvania and down through the center, if to easily picture it. We do.
I think some people think of Harrisburg as the middle of that T. So if you're thinking that way, you gotta carve Harrisburg out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a little to the east, maybe of that central area, maybe. But also Luzerne, you know, is in the northeast part of that. They are in northeastern Pennsylvania. Erie Community College was just established this past fall, really? So now they are established. But it has to do with the way community colleges were set up in Pennsylvania is how this has evolved. So during the initial push to have community colleges, there were, I believe, 15 to 16 created. And one of those was WAC. So we did have one in our region at that time. But
what was it called?
WAC, Williamsport Area Community College.
And it was called WAC.
Right. It's a little whack, but yeah. So they
have a lot of fun with that. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. But it was closed long enough ago that most people who went there are now at retirement age. So they have retired or are retiring. And out of the ashes of WAC came Penn College. Penn College was established in response to them closing.
Right.
So now, fortunately and unfortunately, it is an amazing institution. It's an elite institution. Again, like I keep saying, you know, it's not inexpensive, but it does great things for our region. However, it's not a community college. So we just kind of go back to that. We still have that missing hole, even though they've really done great things. I think they're marketing internationally now and have four-year programs, which is wonderful. But again, it's not filling that need that we're trying to get at. And going back to WAC, a lot of people ask, well, then, you know, what happened with WAC? They were originally there were two different ways they were allowing, I say two, to simplify it, two ways of establishing a community college. One was that local municipalities and school districts could sponsor, or the counties. Like, that's kind of your two options. And up in WAC was being supported by a plethora of, a patchwork of municipalities and school districts, and it started to fall apart. And whenever the dominoes started to fall, it just all fell apart, and they no longer had a local sponsorship. And throughout Pennsylvania, generally speaking, that's the way they're sponsored, is either by counties or by municipalities. I believe HAC might be the only one that's left like that. All the rest are supported by counties, which has been far more stable, a stable means of supporting the community colleges. So.
And is that the way that that y'all are hoping to sponsor this community college?
Yes. Yep. That has been our focus.
Okay. And then, do you want to just say a little bit about how that's going and support that you've received from them?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a touch and go type of thing, where you're building these relationships, and the county commissioners have to know that there's regional support for it. They have to know not only that, you know, theoretically it's a good idea, but that the facts support that. So we've had a number of studies done. We recently did a survey at the request of Northumberland County Commissioners. They have assigned a point person, Joe Klebon. We've been interacting with a lot over the past 6 months or so, providing data and pulling together the survey. So we're going to be presenting those survey results here over the next 30 days, I believe, to them. And so that's been a really great conversation. I know in the other counties, there's just a mixture of responses. We have commissioners that are leaning very favorably. We have ones that are neutral. We have a couple that are just opposed on just the pure tax basis of it. Even though we could have a whole conversation on that, the cost of the community college is less than $14 per year per household across the region. So it's not a huge cost. You know, it's the cost of, you know, less than a cup of coffee. We're having a hard time finding a great analogy, because it's far less than a cup of coffee a month at this point in this day and age. But financially, just this concept of no new taxes becomes a challenge because you have certain people who have made a commitment to no new taxes. So even though this will dramatically increase the tax base and help get people off social services and et cetera, they still are just having a challenge with the tax portion of it.
And it costs $14 per month per family per year, but the projected benefits of that are much higher, and are much higher. And I believe y'all did do a study on the economic benefit that this would bring to the region.
Yeah, that was done by EMC, Economic Modeling Specialists International, and Advanced Central PA and other organizations use them a lot for this type of modeling. And honestly, it's pretty in depth. I was actually pretty impressed with the modeling because I kind of expected it to be shallow, but whenever I asked them questions, it seemed to be pretty deep. They've done a lot of this type of modeling. They say, so our investment would be $1.2 million per year across the region. Over the first 10 years, they expect that we would bring $78 million in economic growth.
I mean, this is interesting to me because I hope I don't step on any toes, but I don't think the actual cost benefits is really what affects the decision makers here. I think it's much more about deeply held. I mean, you mentioned this about the no new taxes, but I think it even goes more deeply about ideas about community, prosperity, resilience. You know, one of the reasons, I've been supportive and I'll be even more supportive however I can, but we have such deeply, deeply entrenched ideas against or inertia against cooperation. So I think that that's part of it too, right? People just don't, I don't know if it's worse in Pennsylvania than other places, but it seems like when we do some of these interviews, the sort of sense of fragmentation and localness really gets in the way. And ironically, it's one of the things we really want to uplift, you know? So it's kind of the dark side of that. I also wonder if the experience with the Williamsport Community College and Penn College is in the back of people's minds, because there's such a deep paranoia suspicion that these things from other places are going to suck revenue from here. I'm putting all this in air quotes on our audio podcast. I'm sure you guys, are working on this, but I don't know, if it were me, it's the moving the commissioners is probably less showing them the cost benefit than getting people who are near them to get on board.
No, I think you're right. I think that's a big part of it. And that's why we've been really working on the grassroots side of things, really just talking with people. We are doing public education campaign, trying to get out there and talking with people about, because I get the response a lot of times, well, we have, Bucknell and Susquehanna and, what more
Bucknell,
do you want?
Bucknell has 8 students from this area or something. I don't know, 15. I mean, I used to teach there. So
yeah.
Very few.
Yeah. But it's hard for people to grasp. We had a gentleman who was a leader of a school nearby worrying that the community college would cannibalize other education opportunities in the area. But what I find is if we, we have our own institution for our area. And I'm going to go back to that language you're using, but this is actually, you actually gave a good reason to support this, is that Luzerne and Lackawanna, and I hate to use those names directly, but those institutions are not based in our area. So that revenue for students are paying there is going out of this area, except for maybe the couple positions instructors wise that are here.
Some of those people go to Wawa, and I don't want them running our community college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't want Wawa goers.
Well, can we talk about that? Because I'm curious, and I don't know how diplomatic you need to be, but was there a community college has something here? I mean, are they competition or potential partner or both at the same time?
You say Luzerne?
I think it's Luzerne. Don't they have
some
classroom space in Watsontown or something?
Yes, they have some classroom space in Watsontown that's been established about a year. They have a year and a half or 2 years. I don't know. I'm losing track of time. And then they have a location in Shamokin, which has been open a long time. But I think in seeing those being established there, and not to cast too much shade, but that, we're just, and it just makes sense, we're not their priority. It is wonderful that they are providing something here, because it is at least an inexpensive alternative. except for the fact that, as Lee said earlier, you can't finish most programs here. Like, there's very, very few programs that you can actually finish in our region. And it probably took us like hollering about it for 8 or 9 years until they actually established programs in Shamokin you can complete. So there's a couple programs now there that you can complete. But that's the exception and not the rule. So that's why part of the reason I say we need our own. We need to have control of it. We need to be talking to our employers and saying, what do you need? You know, how are we connecting people in our region, in our trade region and workforce development region for the positions that are available here?
I'll throw a little shade just now, which is I looked at the Luzerne County Community College webpage for Watsontown, and the header picture is a basketball team with Luzerne County Community College. And like, as somebody who's been in higher education and I've studied it this much a little bit, like one mm-hmm. of the reasons costs tend to go up is, you know, basically copycat effects. Well, because four-year schools have this, we got to have that. And mm-hmm. once you add these ancillary programs, I mean, now that I've said this, hope you're not about to tell me you're planning to have a basketball team, but like that would be like so not mission central to my idea of what an effective community college could be. You know, if people want more basketball, go form a basketball league mm-hmm. for adults.
Yeah. I do have a quick question here. So like community colleges are in many different parts of the country and some are more successful than others. What makes a community college or what makes an area like really effective for a community college, and why is our area one of them?
I'd like to kind of jump in and say that it's the community part of it, right? It's being responsive, and Megan's been talking about this for our entire discussion here, but it's being responsive to the needs of your community. It's knowing what's needed and providing it, and providing a wide range of programs that will allow students to meet the needs that they have. I don't have the answer for the financials. Megan, you might be a better person for that. But just thinking about kind of providing for the needs of the community. If you are local, you can, and you are responsive, you can absolutely be successful.
I wanted to also just throw out, sorry, I was thinking about this. I'm on borough council for Lewisburg, but like, and I'm not in any way like anti-Bucknell, but like Bucknell, Geisinger, Susquehanna, Evangelical, these large footprint nonprofits get a huge tax break. And if we were to compare that to the $14 per person, I would just wonder how that would even out. And it's something that maybe would nudge some people who are a little bit like, oh, we shouldn't be paying for that. We're already paying to support private education, which again, Bucknell does amazing things for this area and Susquehanna, and they do different things for those places. But most of the people who benefit from the education at Bucknell are transplants from somewhere else, and they leave. You know, Megan, you're the exception that you're from this part of Pennsylvania, you stay, and that's great. Like, young people should do what they want with their lives. I think actually, and I've seen a little bit of this in Lewisburg, there's actually a kind of sort of slowly bubbling up of people between, say, 18 and 35 who actually like small town life, right? And between the internet and other things, they can have a better cost of living and a more cohesive sense of community, whether they're from here and they're coming back or they stay in this area. So I feel like I said about three things there, but anyway, that, you know, I think the Susquehanna, Bucknell, Susquehanna, Bloomsburg comparisons, like Homan County, you know, like Homan College hasn't even come up. There's a lot of private, well, Bloomsburg isn't private, but they're in such a different lane that it's apples and oranges.
Right. And that's been a hard thing to share. Actually, that's what I'm going to be speaking to the Northumberland County Commissioners tomorrow about, that just specifically that issue. Because like I had said, someone came forward from as a director of one of a local school and was saying, you know, oh, we have 50 educational opportunities locally. You know, there isn't a need for this. And it's just, I think that, you know, that's unfortunate. So I'm going to be speaking with them tomorrow about that.
So I want to jump in and maybe this is set you up, Lee. Like, I'm also a product of very liberal arts. I went to a liberal arts institution as an undergrad. I taught at one for a long time. And so I'm sort of the classic, like, I know a lot about European history and not a lot about changing the oil in my car. But I actually think that's actually a weakness of traditional liberal arts education, and there's a lot of elitism packed into that. I think everybody who's an English major should know more about fixing HVAC, but I think the converse is true too. And so I just, you know, was wondering what you wanted to say about that. Like anybody who's getting a certificate program, you know, within the bounds of what's available. But to me, you know, the needs for humanities, the needs for civics education, I mean, civics education, when we yes. sort of media literacy, like those things seem to me not as important, but so close, like silver medals important to some of the economic focus things. Do you want to talk about any of that?
So we are currently planning our initial set of associate degree programs. These include programs in nursing, liberal arts, information security, criminal justice, early childhood studies, business administration, and bio and life science. And we'll probably include other things as well. This is not an entirely comprehensive list, but those are the planned associate degree programs. And in addition to that, there will also be certificate programs. And our very first one to come online will be the CNA program that we plan to kind of start out with over the summer. Am I getting that right, Megan? I'm thinking the summer.
Absolutely. Yeah. July is our start date, I believe.
Yeah. And all of the planned associate degree programs include a kind of a level of general education in which there will be exposure to topics that help people to really improve on their critical thinking, on their ability to really kind of understand the workplace, the people they're going to be meeting in that workplace, and to understand, you know, what's going on in the world in ways that are kind of improved critically than prior to attending the degree program. So, you know, and it's not just a focus on things like the humanities, on writing and, you know, those sorts of things, but also some level of focus on mathematics and getting a kind of really nice, solid understanding of what the data that people are presenting to you, you know, especially in a pandemic like right now, what do those data mean? So there is, we do have a really solid plan for general education that goes in addition to our certificate and associate degree programs. So.
How can people help out? Get this done?
There's a lot. Wow. So many ways. As you mentioned earlier, Jordy, talking to your local commissioners. If you have a personal connection with a local commissioner, feel free to reach out to us to get more, you know, more knowledge about exactly how it works. And then please reach out to them so that you can be an educated resource to let them know the ins and outs of it, or you can connect them with us. Because those personal relationships, as you said, are really important. We have been trying to build sort of a group of people who, you know, are educated and are able to speak with the commissioners. We also have a survey out right now, which you can access via our website, a petition, which can be accessed via our website. Both of those are great ways to help if you don't have time to help in other ways. And of course, we're always looking for people to help boost the message. We've been doing a lot on social media, on the radio, et cetera. And our website is newcommunitycollege.org. So newcommunitycollege.org is the place to go to help get connected with us.
That's a plus one for good, you know, good URL names.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. And does anybody have any last thoughts before we conclude the interview?
But what is an optimistic timeline for, or can you even say for like classes being offered, doors open, something like that?
Surprisingly, we can. So our goal would be 18 months after approval. So if this summer, if the counties were to say yes, by this fall, we could potentially have approval, or this by the end of the year, we could have approval from the state, or by next spring. And it would be 18 months from that approval from the state that we could open doors. So 2023 is probably a reach, but 2024 is possible if things move quickly.
Wow. That's really exciting. And I mean, both Jordan and I care a tremendous amount about seeing this region grow. And I think a community college would just be a truly, truly game-changing thing for our region.
I'm so much more stoked to imagine a community college and what it could do than seven more big box retailers or some boondoggle of like a medical waste incinerator, which, you know, I get the paranoia about outside forces. I mean, this is something Taylor and I have talked about some, but like the more I live in Pennsylvania, the more I see how clearly it's an extraction colony for other people's, I'm going to go a little Marxist here, other people's capital, you know? And so whether it's mining the vulnerability for the opioid crisis or whether it's stripping out natural gas, rarely do the benefits of that really.
Space to burn tires.
Space to burn tires. I mean, the Nacero plant that they're trying to build in Luzerne County is, you know, ridiculous. And so it's just frustrating that there's like the money and will to sort of trot out these things that we know provide limited economic benefit. I hope that all the people who think that I'm a crazy leftist hear how much, like, I'm actually sometimes, I feel like I'm more of a market oriented capitalist than they are. I'm just interested in that being local people making money than far off shareholders and CEOs.
Yes.
You heard it here first, Billy Allred.
Oh my gosh, Jordy. Okay. All right. Shutting this down. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for coming, guys.
Yeah. Thank you for your hard work. I know it's a big, like, I was thinking about the Susquehanna Valley Thruway, and I feel like when I came here, it had been 50 years that people were working on that. They're not.
Been to Bellefonte, Southmont, Westmont, Wilmsdorf, Nordmont, Dormont, Lebanon, Hummelsdorf, Cedar Springs, Bowling Springs, Chess Springs, Centerbridge, Centersport, Leesport, Williamsport, Brackenridge, Lumber City, Central City, Lake City, Clearfield, Westfield, Wentfield, Richfield, big deal. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've crossed the valleys, fair man. I be the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Beachland, Wilpen, Tunnelton, Conestoga, Bakerton, Curry Run, Smoke Run, Sanatoga, Slickville, Smithville, Flicksville, Max Tony, Youngwood, Edgewood, Hopwood, Punxsutawney, Whitehall, Blue Ball, Center Hall, North Apollo, Delano, Renovo, Laredo, let's go. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valleys, fair man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel like I had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Been to Stump Creek, Pence Creek, Pine Creek, Chambersburg, Middle Creek, Blakesley, Falls Creek, Shepherdsburg, Johnstown, Allentown, Shepherdstown, Lords Valley, Daisytown, Doylestown, Downingtown, Cherry Valley, Plain Grove, Mill Grove, Mechanics Grove, Swiss Vale, Ferndale, Carbondale, Monongahela, oh well. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valleys, fair man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been